Well, please have your Bibles open at Ephesians chapter 6. Every so often you may find yourself in the following situation. You've got some sort of little job to do around the house. Maybe something in the garden, something indoors. But some little job that you need the right sort of tool for. So, you reach for your toolkit. And while some people seem to have absolutely everything, most of us don't. We have a few basic tools in there, don't we? Things that were found useful in the past. And we look at these tools, and we look at the job, and we realize that we don't have the right tool for the job. So what do? You improvise, don't you? You try using the things that you've got in order to sort out the problem. And sometimes it's a success. But 9 times out of 10 it isn't. 9 times out of 10 it's a complete failure. And either you've got to go out and add another tool to your collection, or you've got to contact someone who's got the right equipment. How many people have experienced this? How many people have tried using a knife as a screwdriver? Oh, lots of hands going up for that. Yes. Is there anybody skilled here who's had to pick up the pieces afterwards? After one of these bodge jobs? It's a lesson we all learn, isn't it? It teaches us that we have to have the right tools for the right job. We need to have the correct equipment. Otherwise, we're just going to get angry, frustrated, and make a complete mess of things in the process. And what's so clear and apparent and true in the material world is also true in the spiritual world. And that's why God has given us some tools, some equipment as part of the armor of God. The armor of God, it breaks down into two categories. There's the things that we wear, and then there's the things that we use. Now, last time we were thinking about the things that we wear, how these things are attached to us, and we always have them on us. They're always there so that we can stand firm in the struggle with the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world. This week, we're moving on from talking about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and having the feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Now we're thinking about the right equipment. And we're just going to think about two of these items that we've got. We're thinking about the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Next time we'll think about the sword of the Spirit. Now, Paul is using an analogy here which is drawn from a Roman suit of armor. And these are things that the soldier carries with him, and then they're always at hand, so that when they're needed, he can very quickly pick them up and put them on. And the first bit of equipment that Paul talks about is the shield of faith. And if you know anything about ancient warfare, you know that Roman shields were quite large, weren't they? They were big, heavy things. They were more like a small door than anything else. It wasn't one of these little lightweight shields that you think about sometimes. You know, people are running around with them. It's a big, heavy, large shield, which was made of wood and leather. And on the outside of it, there was a coating, a cloth coating, which they used to soak with water before they went into battle. Because people used to fire flaming arrows and darts. And the idea was that the shield would not only protect from the sharp bit, but because it was wet on the outside, it would also extinguish the flame. So it's providing double protection for the soldier from sharp things and from burns. And the shield itself is an important first line of defense. Because the soldier's properly equipped. The soldier's got armor on. But you have the shield up there, and the shield is protecting you, even though there's another layer there. So the shield of faith is the first line of defense in our spiritual warfare. And it's something we need to be able to make good use of. Because in this spiritual warfare that Christians are engaged in all the time, the enemy, the devil, continues to fire fiery arrows at us. They often come from the shadows, from unexpected directions, and they appear quite suddenly. How many of us have been walking along the street and suddenly an evil thought jumps into our mind, and we just cannot believe how we would have thought of such a thing? Well, that's a fiery arrow. a sudden doubt about the truth of the Bible, about if Jesus can save us. That's another one. Sometimes they're on the emotional level and we're hit with sudden fears that we're rubbish, that we're falling short, that we're incapable of doing anything. We're filled with doubt about our own abilities. That's another one. And we get the other end of this spectrum as well. The idea that we can do everything ourselves. Pride. And thinking, yes, I can go it all alone. That's another fiery arrow. One of the fiery arrows that seem to be common very much today is apathy. If we forget the fiery arrow thing, let's just think about another analogy. I think sometimes Satan's arrows are coated in sleeping dust. Because he loves to send Christians to sleep. To make them happy and content with the good things of this world. Yes, they go along to church maybe just once a week. But the rest of the time, you know, they lead good, upright, moral lives. Yeah, maybe they even read their Bibles every day. But they don't really seem to serve the Lord and do anything for the Lord. They just go through life, going through the motions. Coming along to church and then living just like everybody else. And you find out that their priorities are really the same priorities as their neighbours. Having a good holiday, having a good time, having enough money and that sort of thing. They're not spiritually minded. And I think that's a spiritual arrow which is used to great effect in our society today. So we need to be on our guard against that one. Other attacks may leave us feeling overwhelmed, may make us feel overworked, underappreciated, all that sort of thing. The devil has got a quiver full of arrows. And he's been doing this for a long time. He's been doing this for since the fall of man. He's been firing these arrows at people. So he knows exactly where to hit people. And he knows exactly what arrow works on you. Sometimes I think if we could see ourselves spiritually, we might look a little bit like a porcupine with all sorts of barbs sticking out of us. Because so often we forget to use the shield of faith and we're an easy target. And we're an easy target when these thoughts, these feelings come into our mind, come into our hearts, and we dwell on them. That's when they catch light. And that's when they start to consume us. So we need to have that shield of faith up and ready so we can take our stand against the devil's lies straight away. So what is the shield of faith? Well, obviously we're talking about faith, but faith itself is quite a broad subject because there's all sorts of different kinds of faith. What sort of faith is it that goes into this shield? Well, let's think about some of the sorts of faith that are out there, and we'll see that it's not those ones, and we'll get onto the sort of faith it is in a moment. So first of all, there's that faith community that you may hear about on the radio or in the news. They talk about the faith community. These people who seem to have faith in faith. Some sort of inward conviction and feeling. And it doesn't seem to matter what religion you belong to. You're all part of the faith community. Well, faith in a feeling is not faith at all, because faith is always in something, or should I say, in someone. So faith is actually in something, someone objective. It's not subjective. It's not just in a feeling. So we can lay aside that faith community straight away. That's an invention of the world to try and prove that all the different religions are the same. So they talk about the faith community and they go into these interfaith dialogues and things like that. That is all a deception of the devil. It's not that sort of faith whatsoever. It's going to be a sort of faith that we see in the Bible. But what sort of faith is it? Well, when we look in the pages of the New Testament, we see different kinds of faith once again. So if we think about the time when Jesus was amongst us, and we see that he was able to heal people who had faith. Some people had faith in Jesus that he could heal them. Now that faith, the Lord acted on it. But what's really interesting is not all those people who were healed actually went on to be converted. When you read some of the Gospels, you see that sometimes those people went and dobbed Jesus in for healing them and things like that. They did all sorts of things. So they took the healing off him, but they rejected him and rejected him as Messiah. So it's not sort of faith that Jesus could heal them, or faith that Jesus is a rabbi, a good teacher, or something like that. It's something deeper. What about saving faith? That great gift of God which he gives us. That's a moment when we realize that we're terrible sinners, that we are despicable in God's sight, that we've fallen short of his standards, and that we're not the good and nice people that we think we are. And we're suddenly given that faith that allows us to reach out to Jesus and trust in him and trust in the things that he's done on the cross. Is it that sort of faith? Well, no, it's not. That faith is essential for the start of our Christian walk. Without that faith, which leads to repentance, you know, we're not Christians at all. So that faith is there at the start of our Christian walk. And that faith in Jesus continues. But what we see here is Paul talking to Christians. And we're talking about the sort of faith that Christians have each and every day. And this sort of faith, it divides into three sections. So first of all, it would be faith in God, in who he is, in his attributes. And this faith includes recognizing God as God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Knowing who God the Father is. Trusting in God the Son and trusting in the Spirit to lead and guide us. So it's that faith that comes through a knowledge of who God is. Secondly, it's faith in God's promises. As we read scripture, we see that God has made various promises to his people down through the ages. And it's having the faith, the trust in those promises. And that's built upon God's character. Because God is good and God never lies. He always tells the truth. So if he makes a promise to us, he will keep that promise. Maybe not in the way or timing that we think, but God will keep his promises. And that faith allows us to hold true when we've got arrows coming at us from every direction. And then thirdly, it's faith in God's providence. Faith that God knows what he's doing. Recognizing that God is in control and that whatever situation we encounter, it's within his control. And trusting that God is good. That all these things that come our way, somehow, somewhere, they lead to things which are for our benefit, for building us up. It may be that we need a slap on the wrist and we need to stop, and that can be painful, but it's for our good. So it's faith, trust, that God is in control. This is the sort of faith that every Christian is called to have, and this is the faith that makes up our shield. It's the sort of faith that works for the Lord, even when we're under pressure and attack, because it gives us confidence to stand firm against everything that is being fired at us. And in order to have this faith, we need to understand and recognize just who God is, because who we think God is and how we think he behaves defines the sort of believers that we actually are. Our faith in God, our understanding of who God is, shapes our Christian life. It shapes our Christian thoughts. It shapes our Christian behavior. And it shapes the way that we react to circumstances. When we have the confidence that God is in charge, that he knows what he's doing, that he will carry us through, that one day, no matter how tough life is today, we will see Jesus face to face, then that gives us the faith that we need to stand. Imagine what your Christian life would be like if you didn't have that kind of faith. You'd be filled with doubts and fears. You'd be pulled here, there, and everywhere. We would never know joy. We would struggle to worship. We would be without hope in this world. We need the shield of faith up and ready. And like with all bits of equipment, we do need to learn how to use it. Now, I'm sure all of us know what it's like to get something new and exciting. Maybe at Christmas when we get a new gadget or something new for the kitchen or something like that. We get something new and at first we don't really know quite how we're using it. You know, who can turn on the new washing machine without reading the instructions? No. But within a few weeks, you're a natural at it, aren't you? It's no problem at all. We need to learn how to use things. And this is the same with the armor of God and these pieces of equipment that God gives us. Over time, we learn to use them. For the healthy Christian, our faith grows over time. We start off with that saving faith, and then we develop that faith with God about who he is, about how he's in charge, how he works things for our good, how he keeps his promises. This faith grows over time as we see answered prayer, as we experience God carrying us through difficult circumstances, arranging things so they work out for the best. This is why it's so important for Christians to remember God's blessings in the past, how he's carried you through difficult, maybe impossible situations, because the memory of his faithfulness then gives you the faith that you need for today, because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he continues to support us. So we need to have faith in him. And over time, as we get to know God better, our eyes are open to the wonder of who he is, of how marvelous our salvation really is. But it doesn't happen automatically. For prayers to be answered, we need to be praying in line with God's will. We need to earnestly seek the Lord's guidance and help to really appreciate his leading and support. We need to really learn to read God's word. We need to learn a little bit of theology as well. And the more we do this, the more our eyes are opened to just how amazing God is. And as this amazement in God opens up before our eyes, so our faith grows. And we are given the confidence that we need to step out and serve the Lord. And as we step out and serve the Lord, we become more of a target. So we need a thicker shield of faith. Because Satan doesn't bother with those sleepy Christians who have had a dose of sleeping dust. He always goes for those who are standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we stand up for him, so our faith grows. We see more answered prayer. We see more circumstances resolved. And as this goes on, our faith continues to grow. Like the muscles in our body, faith has got to be exercised in order to be made strong. So are you used to using the shield of faith this evening? Are you exercising your faith today? Are you spending enough time in prayer? Are you spending enough time reading God's word? Are you serving the Lord, using your gifts for his glory? Or have you got a dose of that sleeping dust and you're just tied up with the things of the world, staring at the TV, looking at social media, and just waiting for the next holiday to come along? We need to exercise our faith, to strengthen our faith. And when we have a strong shield of faith, we can support one another. Roman soldiers never used to fight alone. They always fought in groups, and they used to lock their shields together and make a long shield wall, which no one could get through. They protected one another. And they invented all sorts of military formations. There was one called a tortoise, which would look like a very slow armored car. And you'd have the soldiers in the middle with the shields up above, and then the ones at the side were at the side, at the front facing front, and at the back facing back. And that's how they used to approach enemy encampments when people were throwing arrows and throwing stones and all that sort of thing at them. They would be safe inside this tortoise, fully protected. They worked together as a group, using their shields to protect themselves and one another. And as Christians, we are not alone in this great battle that we fight. The Lord has saved us and called us into his family and brought us together in these communities called churches. We are called to love, support, and care for one another and fight together. We are called to work together to help one another grow and develop as Christians, to help one another to be an effective witness in this dark world. To be an effective witness, we need to stand firm. And we cannot stand firm without the shield of faith in our hands and the helmet of salvation on our heads. Soldiers have always had helmets with them, so that at a moment's notice they can put them on their heads and they're ready to go. Even in more modern times, when body armor became ineffective because of bullets, and they hadn't developed the armor that they have nowadays. Soldiers still wore a helmet because it protects that valuable bit, the brains. I think we all agree it's valuable, the brains. Hopefully we do. Spiritually, the helmet protects the mind. And this is an essential part of salvation. In fact, if this is not present, then we're not really saved. Our salvation, when we're saved, it consists of quite a few steps that have to be taken. And usually they all occur at around the same time. And one key step is that moment when we recognize that we are sinners. We realize that there's a problem and we decide to do something about it. And then there's that change of mind. We realize that we're going in the wrong direction and we make that decision to go the other way. This is repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction, and a determination not to go back again. If repentance is missing, then the individual is, there's a strong chance that they are a false convert. And this change of mind continues throughout the whole of the Christian life. In the book of Romans, we see in chapter 1 that unbelievers have their minds darkened, while in Romans 12, we see that the mind is renewed and transformed within the Christian. A Christian thinks completely differently to a non-Christian. They have a different mindset. They have a different worldview. Their desires and goals are now set by God's agenda. They live for the one who bled and died, then rose again to save them. They long to be free from sin and for their life to be used in the expansion of Christ's kingdom. They see evil for what it is and recognize that most people just waste the time that they have in activities and lifestyles that are pointless and just going around in circles. A Christian with this kind of mind is focused on the Lord, on serving him. A Christian with this sort of mind accepts the truth of God's word first before the philosophy and ideas that are out there in the universities and in our media. What God says is true, and what the world says can be mistaken or even evil. This is a worldview which comes that starts off with that change of mind from repentance and puts its trust in God. This mindset needs protecting, because a divided mind pulled in two different directions results in a person who dithers. Now, we all know how irritating it is to go shopping with someone who cannot make up their mind, who cannot make a decision. Anyone ever felt irritated like that? Has anyone ever been the person who's dithering? Yes. Yeah, we all fall into those categories. Possibly sometimes both of them on the same day. A Christian with a divided mind is torn between a love for the world and a love for the Lord. Such Christians are lukewarm. And according to Revelation 3, they're in a bad place and the Lord is not pleased with them. Consequently, we do need to keep our helmet of salvation on. We need to keep on living out that repentance day by day. And we need to keep on growing in our knowledge of the Lord. This is the command that we see in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because as we grow in the knowledge of God, it means that our helmet is on securely, and we continue to cultivate and develop that worldview, that way of understanding what goes on around us, that is looking through the same eyes as God. It's the truth. It's the light. It's the life. So we need to be people who continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Do you think that you know all there is to know about God? That's good, because God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. There is no limit to God whatsoever. We can only ever know a small part of him. There is no end to us increasing in our knowledge of God, because no matter how far we go, there's always something else to discover. Christians are people who are saved so they can have this restored relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means we get to know who God is. This is what eternal life is, knowing God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. And it's a journey that will continue for the rest of eternity. We will keep on growing in our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us will ever arrive at complete knowledge. However, each step that we take will only ever get better and better, more wonderful, more glorious. The helmet of salvation both guards this knowledge and encourages its growth. If the helmet is missing, if repentance and the changed mindset is not there, then the person will be hit by the fiery arrows of doubt, of fear, of self-centeredness, of thinking that life is all about them, rather than about living for the Lord. They will doubt the truth of God's word. Not all of it, only little bits here and there, the things that they don't like, that don't fit in with their thinking. And they will lack resolve, and when troubles come, they will give in to fear. They will always have one eye on the world, maybe even living a double life, one thing in the week, another thing when they're in church. The helmet of salvation is absolutely essential for us all to give us the protection that we need. Soldiers have always gone into battle wearing head protection. We are the same. We need to have that helmet near at hand, ready to buckle on at a moment's notice. Are we fully equipped and prepared to stand firm? Do we have the shield of faith in hand, confident of who God is, that he is trustworthy, that he will always keep his promise, that one day we will see Jesus face to face? Is the helmet on our head? Do we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit? Are we growing in grace, in knowledge, in love for the Lord? Have we got the right equipment? And do we really know how to use it so that when the time of trial, temptation and trouble arrives, we're not reaching into a toolkit that doesn't contain the right equipment, but instead we're fully equipped and ready to stand. Amen.